Brothers and sisters, do not weary in doing what is right. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be wholly pleasing and acceptable to you, my Lord, Rock, and Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, there is certainly a lot to take in this passage. It truly can feel a bit overwhelming with all that is listed about what might come and happen. If you notice, most of what Jesus speaks about isn't really good. It isn't something most of us would welcome if we had the choice. In fact, most of us would probably run as far away or do our best to avoid. Wars, insurrections, earthquakes, famines, plagues, nations against nations. Lord, have mercy. And let's not stop there. Arrests, persecutions, being brought before authorities, all because of the name of Jesus. Whoa. Upon hearing all of this, it is easy to feel overwhelmed and to get lost in all that could happen. Discipleship hasn't changed much in the last 2,000 years, and in many ways, the world doesn't seem like it's changed much in 2,000 years, does it? Even despite this, following Jesus means testifying to our trust in God in the midst of circumstances that test our confidence and our hope. Well, Mother Suzanne, that sounds well and good, but what does that mean? I suppose the answers are endless, but for me, the simplest way I know how to think about entering into a scripture such as this is simply to keep moving forward. The gospel ends with these hopeful words, with endurance our souls are gained. With endurance. It is a hallmark of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. As one of my favorite poets reminds us and reminds me every day, I think of this, when we pay attention to the stunning things God does, our psalm this morning reminds us of that. When we pay attention to the stunning thing God has done and will continue to do, we can begin to tell others of this goodness, regardless of the ways in which it looks otherwise. We just have to. And as Mary Oliver reminds us, when we do these things, when we pay attention, and we live in wonder and astonishment, we have just found the keys to a good life. In today's gospel, Luke remembers the horrors of Jerusalem's destruction and reminds those to whom he writes that wars and insurrections just are. They are life, sadly, along with earthquakes, typhoons, eclipses, famines. All of it is just how the world works. They're not some special sign of the end. That's not what Luke is writing about. What he is saying to us as believers is that life has always been like this. And even with the world like this, Luke's Jesus says this, God's faithful people should lift their heads and expect resurrection, redemption, and rescue. Even in the midst of what might seem like chaos, destruction, disorder in the world, and maybe in our own lives. And this is where the gospel doesn't seem too far off from our current world. We live in a contentious world. My goodness, we just came through another midterm election cycle this week, which perhaps for some reinforces all that Jesus spoke of. And what is he reminding us all is that we can't orient our lives towards those things temporary. We just can't. Meaning we can't only look with and through those things that are right in front of us, no matter how consuming, glamorous, or pulling they are for us. Often, uncomfortable situations, hard times, things you thought would last and then sadly sometimes don't. What Jesus tells us is that these times and circumstances will come. We can't avoid them. But where the hope and the gospel is found in the midst of it is this: when these times do come, you won't be alone. Why? Because God is with you in those times. And what he promises to do in those times is bring you life if you let him. In other words, the theological word for that is resurrection. And what does resurrection mean? When there is death, when there is destruction, the promise on the other side of that is that new life emerges. New life comes. Because as people of the way, as people who follow Jesus, we believe that nothing is ever wasted in the kingdom of God. The worst of the worst can be redeemed in our world, in our lives, all of it. There isn't one single thing that can't be rescued and made better or made whole again. Nothing. So that means even when we don't know what the future will bring or how even to enter into it or step amongst it, we keep at it. We keep inserting ourselves into the space and world in which we inhabit to make it better. I tell folks all the time to have the eyes of Jesus and see things as he does, with empathy and compassion. And to remind others who might be swept up in the mess of all things of this one thing that Mother Julian of Norwich says, I have long held it in my heart, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. I don't want to seem as though I am dismissing bad things or being too Pollyanna about difficult situations by saying all shall be well. That is certainly not my intent. But what I think is good to be mindful of is that Jesus says plainly, hard times and circumstances are a part of life. There's nothing that can be done about this. If you're human, you will eventually, or perhaps you are now in the middle of your own chaos, in the middle of your own difficulties that you just wish you could be rescued out of. It just is. We aren't promised an easy life. We aren't. It's not in the Bible. You can read it from cover to cover. It's not there. However, how we choose to react to these situations is what he is speaking to today. And what this passage shows us is that we are to keep moving forward with endurance, persistence, and strength. For these are the hallmarks as what it means to be a Jesus follower. We can't give up. We can't be in denial of what is, but believing that all of it means something. And God is faithful in and through all things. This is our hope, our blessed, blessed hope. Sometimes it is the only thing that can get me out of bed, or help to put one foot in front of the other, or be the dim light at the end of a very dark tunnel. Sometimes that is it. Knowing there is hope of resurrection. And in a moment of honesty, I would say this is truly my work every single day. The process of moving forward with endurance, with grace, with strength. No matter the circumstance I find myself in for that day, no matter what I might be facing, might that be your work too? Please tell me I'm not alone in this work. I would say that this doesn't come naturally for most, in that most of us try to shun or avoid discomfort or the feeling of dis-ease. It's not something we want. But Jesus says it comes. Earlier this year, I was away to retreat in the mountains of New Hampshire. Never been there before. It was glorious. I gathered there with about 30 other priests or so from across the United States. And during our time together, we were encouraged to do something, something I had never done before. We were encouraged to craft a rule of life. I was a bit skeptical at first, but I was encouraged as we moved through the week that this was a way to find yourself in the world, a way of being in the world. Now, a rule of life is not supposed to be complicated, and we were assured by those who have adhered to a rule of life that the less complicated our rule of life is, the more likely it would be to sustain and follow. So I set about doing this, probably quite differently than my colleagues, because I chose to craft a rule of life that fits on a post-it note. This big. That way, I could be assured that it wouldn't be too verbose or too complicated. I would have to keep things simple and succinct. And that, my friends, is my new way of trying to do life. So this post-it note goes with me everywhere I go. And those things that I truly value and live by are listed on it. In bullet point form, those things, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter if the world is falling in on itself, good or bad, I try my best to live into and not waver from. I will share a few things right now on my list, two things, in fact. The first, be open. And the second, don't be afraid. And this is where it gets personal for me. For many years, I lived feeling closed in and afraid, always thinking of the worst possible outcome, being paralyzed, and I'm not kidding, by fear. So paralyzed, I was not able to make a decision. I questioned myself to the nth degree over every move or decision that I made. This made for a pretty anxious Mother Suzanne, and the world she inhabited was quite small. Protected, sheltered, and frankly, just not real. I was so boxed in and closed off, all to protect myself. Protect, 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 protect. So that I didn't have to engage. I was really good at shutting people out, letting people in just close enough, and then putting the wall up. So, before I went to New Hampshire, a friend came to me and said, "Suzanne, might I suggest that you approach this trip with a posture of openness?" Well, those things I'd done in the past didn't work. I felt as though I was at a new season in life, and so I tried it. I tried it. And this trying, in many ways, has freed my mind and my heart. And by being open, now I'm not so afraid anymore. The two go hand in hand for me. So being open and not being afraid are at the top of my rule of life. Well, that's great and all, Mother Suzanne, but what in the world does that have to do with our sermon this morning? Well, what I would say is this: life is challenging. Yes, we all know that. But might I also add, there are ways that we can take control, and we can allow lots of room for God's love and grace to enter in, even if that means crafting a rule of life on a post-it note and saying, "This is how I'm going to choose to live my life." Y'all, we get to choose how we live. And I guess that's another reason why I tell people all the time, part of moving about the world is by paying attention, not being on autopilot. Because when we pay attention, we recognize that all things can and do work together. And more importantly, we move about knowing that resurrection can happen in the world, and guess what? In our lives. I am a living testimony to that. Where there is death, if you have moved through a season of death, or if you're in that season of death right now, no, keep moving forward. Your resurrection is coming. So when you feel like the world is closing in and you want to box yourself in so you can be protected, when you feel that the bad outweighs the good, might I say, keep moving forward. Be open. However slowly or quickly it may be, just one foot in front of the other. And be strengthened knowing that God is with you. As our psalm reminds us, he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And don't forget to look for him. And when God comes to you, perhaps in the most unexpected ways, this week, God came to me and a puppy named Ziva. I was open. I said yes. I wasn't afraid. And this dog has blessed my life in 5 days and my kid's life. And her name means Light of God, as a reminder to me that I am no longer in a season of darkness. That's how God came to me this week. And when he does, thank him again and again for making himself known to you. And lastly, as our sweet Jesus reminds us and says, dear flock, dear little ones, do not be afraid. I am with you. In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.